Good evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington, working on this pre-recorded program via remote. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Wednesday, January 12, 2022. South Sudanese authorities close their border with Sudan.
So we have decided to temporarily close this border and we prevent the movement of their cattle to our side.
And some lawmakers from South Sudan say they are working to ensure the 2020 peace deal is implemented.
When you agree on something, you agree on something because basically there was something wrong. And that something wrong, you corrected it with agreement. So in this case, each and everyone must be compliant to the agreement.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. Some South Sudanese lawmakers say they are working to implement the revitalized peace agreement. A member of the Specialized Committee on Peace and Reconciliation in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly says he believes the parties to the agreement have implemented 90% of its provisions. David Monodanga has more for VOA from Juba.
The lawmakers said the 2018 revitalized peace agreement is the country's lifeline, and every signatory to the deal must work hard to implement it. John Aganya is the head of information committee in the Transitional National Legislative Assembly.
When you agree on something, you agree on something because basically there was something wrong. And that something wrong, you corrected it with agreement. So in this case, each and everyone must be compliant to the agreement. And if you don't actually follow the agreement will follow you. Because something that you have agreed, you must implement. If we want to live in peace, if we want also to progress in our government, I believe that each and everybody must comply with the agreement. There is no way.
Aganyi says the constitution empowers lawmakers to summon and hold accountable any of the signatories to the agreement, including the executives, the first vice president, and five other vice presidents, should they notice that things are not going well.
One of the main functions of the assembly is to oversize over the executive. Whatever you are, should you be at what level? In case of our National Legislative Assembly or National Legislature, when it is something concerning the two houses, we have to summon them and we have to question them. Because this is an integral part of our function. If you cannot oversight, you cannot question the ministers, how will you know that they are doing the right things? In our constitution, we summon everybody except the president.
Jacob Dow is the deputy acting chairperson of the Specialized Committee on Peace and Reconciliation in the National Legislative Assembly. He calls 2022 a year of peace, adding that the lawmakers will do what they can to ensure peace reaches everyone in the country.
We need the peace to reach to everyone, including the young people down there, so that the youths can be happy. We know that people are waiting for the government to provide reliable peace, but I would like to tell you that this government is a government of peace, and I thank our president because he stands for peace. Everyone in South Sudan, including those out there, are eager for peace. There are people out there who listen to rumors about the peace, but those of us who are inside the country, we see that this year is a year of peace.
Bishop John Jock Chol, a member of the Specialized Committee for Peace and Reconciliation, says he thinks the parties to the peace deal have implemented a majority of its provisions.
The citizens of this country have realized that there's nothing important in life than peace. Now, most of the provisions that had been agreed by peace partner have already been implemented. And we are going soon and very soon to graduate our unified forces. And after graduation, they will be deployed into their respective places, you know, to protect the life of the citizen of this country. We are always praying that we don't need anything else but peace to subguide the life of our dear citizens.
Aganyi says the government and other signatories to the peace deal have yet to graduate the unified force, which he says is the core of the agreement. He attributes the delay in graduating the joint forces to the arms embargo imposed on South Sudan by the international community.
In the process of the agreement, it was been said that the forces are to be contained. They have to go to the containment areas. There they are trained, they are screened, and then they are actually graduated at the end and they fulfill their duty, their national duty that they were being trained for. But if you tell me that you are not going to allow them to be armed, how can a soldier work without a gun? And where do you expect us to get gun from? So I think the international community, they are also giving us our time to implement peace.
Agani says the lawmakers have made several amendments to match the country's constitution with the agreement on the resolution of conflict in South Sudan, including on the conduct of businesses and the national legislature's conduct. For VOA News, I am David Monodanga in Juba.
Authorities in South Sudan's northern Bahr al-Ghazal state say they have closed the western border with Sudan indefinitely after an attack by suspected Messiria tribesmen that left more than a dozen people dead in Awil East County last week. The state minister for information says the situation is tense and civilians are living in fear. For VOA News, Dengai Deng reports from Bor.
William Manyuon, the Minister for Information in Northern Bahr al-Ghazal State, says the state government closed the Sudan-South Sudan border following a deadly attack in Ajef Payam of Awil East County. Manyuon says the movement of people, goods and cattle are restricted until further notice.
And the government has taken some measures. One of the measures is, you know, we have a border between us, Sudan and South Sudan. So these borders, there were some other activities, trading activities, and the cattle movement is this free migration. So we have decided to temporarily close these borders, and we prevent the movement of their cattle to our side.
Last week, horse-riding Masiria tribesmen from the Sudanese border town of Mairift attacked and killed 15 people, injured scores of others, and left many displaced in Awil East counties in the Pabul area. Anyone says a delegation led by President Salva Kiir's National Security Advisor, Tut Galwak, who is currently in Khartoum, will discuss the incident in Awil East with the Sudan government.
We, the government, we are there to protect our people. And if there are some other elements that are threatening, they are killing people always, we decided to temporarily close this border and we asked the national government to intervene. And we have to now, we have some good news that the president sent a team to Sudan. So this team, maybe when they come back, they will come with good news.
Traders say the market will run out of basic food items due to the border closure. Deng Athian, the chairman of the Chamber of Commerce in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state, says there will be shortages of basic goods and commodity prices might shoot up unless the trade route is immediately opened.
We all know that peace is the good thing. I believe the incident which happened in Awil East was not between the two governments of Sudan and South Sudan. It was between the civilians. So I urge the government to resolve the matter so that the trade resume, like the majority of the sorghum was being imported from Sudan. So the market might run out of goods. So we as the traders, we are calling for fees.
Athian urges the South Sudan and Sudan government to quickly resolve the problem and bring peace between the neighboring communities of Masiria and Dinka Malwal so that people and goods move freely. The Dinka Malwal of South Sudan and Masiria Arab nomads of Sudan have held several peace conferences in recent years. Their aim has been to convince a committee of Awil East, Twitch and Northern Liege representatives to follow up on cattle raids and compensation claims. The two communities have agreed to compensate the families of six Arab nomads who were killed in a cattle raid in the Twitch area of South Sudan. The two parties also agreed to share grazing land and water points. Competition for land and water has caused long-standing disagreements and frequent conflicts among the host farming communities in the Awil East and Twitch areas and the visiting herders. For VOA News, I am Dengai Deng in Bor.
Some Sudanese political parties are expressing mixed views over the UN-facilitated initiative aimed at resolving the political deadlock among Sudanese leaders. Some parties welcome the initiative, saying if taken seriously by all Sudanese political forces, it would end the stalemate. Others reject it, saying the efforts still gives the military a chance to hold influence in the transitional period, which would not help in resolving the matter. Michael Atit reports for VOA from Khartoum.
Kamal Omar, the Secretary for Political Affairs in the Islamic Popular Congress Party, says the UN envoy in Sudan invited his party to take part in the process to find ways of how to break the political crisis in the country. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus via phone in Khartoum, Omar says the UN initiative is a chance for all political forces in the country to come together and design a new part of the democratic transition in Sudan. He says the Popular Congress Party is ready to participate in any effort that would help to bring peace and stability in the country.
We believe that this initiative will achieve a breakthrough for the Sudanese political crisis. We are in need of a breakthrough so that we can pass the blockade on the political horizon in the country.
On Saturday, the UN envoy for Sudan, Volker Perthes, said he would facilitate talks between various Sudanese political forces aimed at reviving a fragile democratic transition. However, the Sudanese Communist Party has rejected the UN initiative, saying the military should be excluded from any political process in the country. Amal Zain is a member of the political bureau of the Sudanese Communist Party. Speaking to South Sudan in Focus in Khartoum, she criticized the UN for involving the military in the political process. Zain says her party will not be part of any dialogue that would involve the military.
In principle, our three no's still exist, and our position as the party since the beginning is that we reject any political negotiation with the military, any participation or partnership with the military in any political process in Sudan. In the coming period, we are against it.
The three no's are no negotiation, no compromise, and no partnership. But Omar says the UN initiative would still be a good chance for all political parties to resolve their differences and create a new road for a democratic transition in Sudan. He says excluding the military will not help the situation.
If they were keen on a political program that would exclude the military from the political scene in Sudan, this is a great chance for them to correct the mistakes that led to the October 25th military coup. I suggest that they should accept this initiative.
Zain says the military leaders are seeking to protect themselves from being held accountable for crimes committed against Sudanese people since the fall of President Omar al-Bashir in April 2019.
Whatever they are doing now is an escape route to get away. By doing so, they keep on committing more crimes against the Sudanese people. That is why these individuals should be tried in the court of law for their crimes, including the military coup of October 25th.
UN Special Envoy to Sudan, Perthes, says he remains deeply concerned that the current political deadlock may slide the country further into instability and waste the important political, social, and economic gains made since the revolution had ousted former President Omar al-Bashir. A UN official says the political consultation is expected to begin this week. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Khartoum.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. Coming up, a vocal Ugandan writer is sentenced to jail. Find out why after the break.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
how can you promote tourism within your country amongst your fellow citizens?
By sponsoring or organizing trips for schools and others, because there are some people who don't have money to go to such places.
telling people about how our culture and history is, through that I can promote.
By having friendly activities available, like affordable costs of travel, food and accommodation.
Maybe by posting on the social media about the tourism activities happening in the country, as well as the places that people can visit. Places I know, such as some in Mangochi, maybe in Mulanje, by putting that on the social media.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
The World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say we all can help fight the global pandemic by frequently washing our hands with soap and water or using hand sanitizers. For more information on protecting yourself and others, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa Center for Disease Control. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. A Ugandan author who wrote critical comments about President Yoweri Museveni and his son has been charged with what authorities call offensive communications. Kakwenza Rukirabashaga's lawyer says he was tortured in detention, as Alima Athumani reports from Kampala.
Award-winning Ugandan writer Kakwenza Rukirabashaga appeared before a court Tuesday and was charged with two counts of offensive communication. Rukirabashaga was arrested on December 28th and taken from his Kampala home. The government says he was using his Twitter account to offend President Yoweri Museveni and his son, Commander of Land Forces, Lieutenant General Muhoozi Kainerugaba. The writer's lawyer, Aaron Kiza, tells VOA he was not made aware of his client's court appearance until later.
This was a clandestine move intended to deny him an opportunity for legal representation and an opportunity to pursue his legal remedies like bail and opposing the charges, which are bogus.
Rukirabashaja's court appearance comes a day after the High Court issued an order for it to take place before the close of business Wednesday. The magistrate Tuesday also issued an order for him to be subjected to a medical examination by prison authorities to ascertain his health status. During a January 3rd search at his home in Iganga District in the Eastern Region, the writer reportedly whispered to his wife that he had been tortured. Photos of his blood stained undergarments were later posted on social media. The author was allegedly detained at the Special Forces Command facility in Entebbe, a claim the army vehemently denied. The award-winning writer has been remanded to a prison facility until January 21st, when he reappears before a court. This is the third time he has been arrested. The first time was in April 2020 for his novel, The Greedy Barbarian, a fictional account of high-level corruption. He was again arrested the following September for his second novel titled Banana Republic, which detailed torture. He won the Pen Pinter Prize International Writer of Courage Award in 2021. Halima Athmani for VA News, Kampala, Uganda.
Still in East Africa, the East African community is set to recognize COVID-19 certificate from member states to ease free movement of goods and people in the region. This comes after a council of ministers met to resolve challenges affecting transborder trade due to the pandemic. Moses Javier Amana reports.
On Monday, the East African Community Council of Ministers met to discuss the truck drivers' crisis and agreed to recognize the negative COVID-19 tests from accredited laboratories in the partner states. John Bosco Kalisa is the Chief Executive Officer of the East African Business Council.
The decision that was made yesterday is a commendable one. We appreciate all the ministers from the EAS partners in terms of ensuring that the movement of goods is facilitated and unhindered during this period where there is an introduction of the new measures to contain the spread of the new virus.
Fred Mukasambide is a lawmaker from the East African community. He says that the introduction of the COVID-19 pass is a milestone in respecting common market protocol.
The ESC pass is going to be a good development because it establishes a common trust network that supports, obviously, digital access to health data. Of course, now these ones have replaced the otherwise archaic and compunctious processes where each partner state would definitely do its own testing.
George Odong, a lawmaker from Uganda, talks on the recognition of the national laboratories by the East African Community member states.
Some of these laboratories are not very much regulated, in my opinion. So to come up with a list of laboratories that have been inspected and verified by a team of experts is a very good way to, you know, to harmonize the standards.
Traders and truck drivers were mostly impacted by the COVID-19 measures imposed by the partner states while crossing borders. One of the regional transborder trader held the community's move for a harmonized COVID-19 certificate.
It will be very easy to reach Nairobi without delaying on the way. For example, if you get a COVID certificate here in Burundi, you go to Kabanga, you just show, you continue. You reach Mutukulu, you just show, you continue. You reach Malava, Busia, you just show, you continue. It's very easier. Compared to each border point, you take 1 hour, 2 hours, 1 hour, 2 hours. So that it has been very tiresome.
As the East African community is struggling to recover the economy that has been affected by the pandemic since 2020, many sectors like tourism are still struggling. That led the community to lose about $4.8 billion in the year 2020. Moses Havyarimana for Voice of America.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Hello, I'm VOA Health Correspondent Linor Mudu. The World Health Organization and Africa Centers for Disease Control say we all can help fight the coronavirus pandemic by wearing face masks that cover our mouths and noses when we are in crowded areas. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest news on COVID-19.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
During this pandemic, the World Health Organization and Africa Center for Disease Control say if you have a fever, a cough, or have trouble breathing, you should stay at home and contact a healthcare facility. For more information, check with reliable sources such as the WHO and Africa CDC. And remember to listen to VOA for the latest health news.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
Aid workers say an airstrike in northern Ethiopia's Tigray region has killed 17 civilians, mainly women, and wounded scores more. As Gilmore Dawit reports from Addis Ababa, the strike came the same day U.S. President Joe Biden raised concerns about airstrikes on civilians with Ethiopian Prime Minister Ahmed Abiy.
The attack happened late Monday near Maizebri town in northwestern Tigray. A report by a local administration said women at flour grinding mill made up most of the kill, a source who saw the report told the Associated Press. Government Communication Minister Legese Tulu and the State Minister for the Government Communication Service Kabere Desisa did not respond to requests for comment. The attack happened same day US President Joe Biden called Prime Minister Abiy and shared his concern about drone strikes causing civilian deaths in Tigray. He also called on government and Tigray People's Liberation Front, which has ruled Tigray for decades, to end hostilities, begin a national dialogue and open humanitarian access to Tigray. This is the second deadly airstrike reported in Tigray in less than a week. On Friday, aid groups said an airstrike on a displaced persons camp near the town of Dedebit, close to the Eritrean border, killed more than 50 and wounded 138 others. The United Nations Office for the Coordination of Humanitarian Affairs said 12 of those killed were children and that the airstrike destroyed temporary structures. The strike have disrupted aid delivery to Tigray. On Sunday, OCHA said aid partners delivering help in parts of Tigray have stopped operations due to insecurity. Galmu Dawit for VOA News, Addis Ababa, Ethiopia.
South Sudan in Focus is now on WhatsApp. Send us a message on +1 202 630 8011. Tell us what's happening in your area or give us your feedback on the stories you hear on South Sudan in Focus. We look forward to hearing from you on WhatsApp. That number again, +1 202 630 8011.
That's all we prepared for you this Wednesday. We now end this show by taking you to Eastern Equatoria State for some traditional Acholi song. have been listening to a traditional Acholi song from Eastern Equatoria State. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for being part of our evening. Remember to always wash your hands with soap, practice social distancing, and wear a mask when you're in public places to protect you and others from getting COVID-19. Do not escape from COVID-19 quarantine centers because there's no cure for coronavirus. Join us again tomorrow evening for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.